इति संवृत संभारा पुरुषा वयवाय रहां अमेवा पुरुषं यज्ञं ठेनाय वाय जमेश्वरं Thus I created the ingredients and paraphernalia for offering sacrifice out of the parts of the body of the Supreme Lord, the enjoyer of the sacrifice. And I perform the sacrifice to satisfy the Lord. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. People in general are always anxious to have peace of mind or peace in the world, but they do not know how to achieve such a standard of peace in the world. Such peace in the world is obtainable by performances of sacrifice and by practice of austerity. In the Bhagavad Gita, the following prescription is recommended. Bhuktaram yagyatapasam sarvalokameheshwaram suhridam sarvabhutanam kyatva mam shanti mritchati. The karma yogis know that the Supreme Lord is the factual enjoyer and maintainer of all sacrifices and of austere life. They also know that the Lord is the ultimate proprietor of all the planets and is the factual friend of all living entities. Such knowledge gradually converts the karma yogis into pure devotees of the Lord through the association of unalloyed devotees, and thus they are unable to be liberated from material bondage. Brahma, the original living being within the material world, taught us the way of sacrifice. The word sacrifice suggests dedication of one's own interests for satisfaction of a second person. That is the way of all activities. Every man is engaged in sacrificing his interests for others, either in the form of family, society, community, country, or the entire human society. But perfection of such sacrifices is attained when they are performed for the sake of the Supreme Person, the Lord. Because the Lord is the proprietor of everything, because the Lord is the friend of all living entities, and because He is the maintainer of the performer of sacrifice, as well as the supplier of all the ingredients of sacrifices, it is He only and no one else who should be satisfied by all sacrifices. The whole world is engaged in sacrificing energy for advancement of learning, social upliftment, economic development, and plans for total improvement of the human condition. But no one is interested in sacrificing for the sake of the Lord, as it is advised in Bhagavad Gita. Therefore, there is no peace in the world. If men at all want peace in the world, they must practice sacrifice in the interest of the Supreme Proprietor and Friend of all. Today we are reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 2, Chapter 6, entitled Purusha Shukta Confirmed, text number 28. It is my very great pleasure and fortune to be amongst all of the glorious servants of Sri Sri Radha Ras Bihari once again after long time. Sri Radha Ras Bihari Dev Ki Jai. Ananti Koti Vaishnava Vrinda Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. In this chapter, Lord Brahma is speaking. Lord Brahma is the secondary father as well as creator within this universe we are living. He is revealing through his prayers his own heart. He was born from the lotus flower that grew out of the navel of Lord Vishnu, Garbhodakshayi Vishnu. Therefore, his very existence is by the mercy of the Lord. Whatever intelligence he has, whatever abilities he has, and whatever elements he has to utilize for his work of creation is all 100% supplied by the Supreme Personality of God. It's quite wonderful how the Lord begins each creation of a universe. Lord Brahma is sitting. He doesn't know who he is, where he is, what he's supposed to do, or how he's supposed to do it. He's in a bewildered state. On his own, he tries to figure out these important questions of life, climbs up and down the stem of the lotus, which represents the 14 planetary systems, and ultimately he gets closer to the waves of the Garbhodak ocean, and he becomes very fearful and bewildered. Then he climbs back on the lotus flower and wholeheartedly takes shelter of the Lord in meditation and prayer. Then the Supreme Lord appears before him and reveals to him transcendental knowledge, who you are. He reveals the Vedic knowledge to him and also empowers him to perform his particular service of creation. In Bhagavad Gita it is said that in the beginning of creation, the Lord sent forth demigods, human beings, as well as the performance of sacrifice, and declared, just perform this sacrifice and I shall supply everything. You will be happy. So the very basis of everything Brahma has done is a result of his sacrifice for the pleasure of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That's how he received all of his intelligence, all of his abilities, and all of the facilities he has. So the basic cause of the entire universal creation is the sacrifice of Brahma. Prakrite kriyamanani gunai karmani sarvasha. Brahma can take no credit because he's a Vaishnava. He gives all credit to where credit is due, to Krishna. Krishna uses his devotee as an instrument. In fact, every living entity can only be an instrument. We have the free will whether we want to be instrumental in the Lord's internal personal potency or his external illusory potency. In the spiritual world, all parts and parcels are just instrumental in serving the divine couple, Sri Radha Ras Bihari. And by their desire, Sri Radha Ras Bihari provides unlimited abilities and facilities for them to engage in the most pleasurable activities of pure devotional service. And in the material world, people are under the control of the three modes of material nature, goodness, passion, and ignorance. just like puppets. The modes of nature are like the strings, and Maya Devi, the illusory potency, is like the puppeteer, making us act in various ways. But we are never the doer, whoever we may be. We are all empowered by the Lord, either directly or indirectly, according to our particular desire. Yegatamam prapadyante tamstataiva bhajamyaham. Krishna reveals himself. He empowers us according to how we approach him. But Krishna is so kind that for the sake of loving relationship, he gives power and responsibility to us. Srila Prabhupada explains that Krishna is doing everything through his various energies, and he can do anything. But yet he takes the form of a deity, and essentially, philosophically, we must understand how to worship the deity. Philosophically, we know that Krishna is giving me intelligence, he's giving me abilities, he's giving me everything. I can do nothing without his powers. But yet, out of mercy, out of loving mercy and kindness upon us, he appears in such a way that he can't even dress himself, so that we have the opportunity to dress him. We cannot dress ourselves unless he gives us the power to move. We cannot dress him, but he gives us the ability, and yet he appears in a way that I'm made of stone. I'm Radharas Bihari. At least I appear in stone, although it is my eternal transcendental form. But I can't dress myself in this way. You dress me. So materialistic people, they cannot understand this. Just like Srila Prabhupada explains that one time he was speaking to a member of a very impersonalistic organization, religious organization. And they said, Swamiji, why you give the deity food? Deity is stone. Deity cannot eat. Deity does not need to eat, nor can he eat. This is all your imagination. Srila Prabhupada said, I told this man, he quoted Bhagavad Gita, Patram pushpam palam toyam yomi bhakta prayachchati. You offer me leaf, flower, little water, fruit, and I will accept it. I will eat it. Ashnami, I will accept. So Krishna says he will eat if we offer with devotion. You say he will not eat. He says he eats. So who should I believe? The Supreme Absolute of Truth, the Personality of Godhead, Krishna, or a loafer like you? Krishna says he will eat, so he will eat. He accepts our devotion. He accepts Brahma's devotion in his creation of the material universe. But yet, to give us the opportunity for devotional service, which is the means by which there can be intimate, ecstatic love, he appears in a way that he needs our service. When Lord Sri Krishna lifted Giriraj Govardhan Hill for 7 days and seven nights with the smallest finger of his left hand, Indra was frustrated. Indradev, he just had his most powerful army of clouds. The clouds had come at the time of devastation. It wasn't just raindrops. The rains were falling like pillars of solid water from the sky. And thunderbolts were crashing, thunder, lightning. But he failed. So ultimately, he said, Samvataka cries, go away, we are defeated. So when the sun came out, and again, Vrindavan became a very pleasant place, Krishna told all gopas, gopis, cows, everyone, now you go. So everyone started going. Nobody wanted to go. Everyone was happy spending the rest of eternity just watching Giridhari holding up Govardhan. Krishna said, now you must go. But cowherd boys, some gopas, they were holding the hill with sticks. So Giridhari said to them, you go. They said, no, no, how can we go? You go. We're holding up the hill with our sticks. He said, you should go first, then we'll gradually let it down because we don't want you to be crushed or to be inconvenienced with pain. So Krishna said, no, no, I'm holding it. They said, no, no, we're holding it. How can you hold it? We're holding it with our sticks. Go, Gopal, then we'll let it down. So then Krishna with his little... Can you imagine, this mountain was so big. It was many, many times bigger than it is today. And Krishna was balancing it all with the little tip of his smallest finger, perfectly balancing it. And then he tilted it slightly. And when he tilted it, gopas, their sticks came tumbling down and the force of it, they all fell to the ground. And as they all were all laying on the ground in a very fearful condition, Giridhari just stood like this. Then they understood what Gopal was doing. So this is love. Krishna actually makes his devotee think that they are the doers. But the devotees are only doing for the pleasure of Krishna. In Kurukshetra, Arjuna, how he fought that battle against the greatest warriors in the world. And after the battle, and he was victorious, he told Krishna, now you can get off the chariot. Krishna said, no, you should get off first. Arjuna didn't understand, why should I get off first? You're the Lord. He said, no, no, you get off first. So he got off. And then when Krishna got off, the whole chariot disintegrated. Those were according to the blows that chariot received during that battle, that was its natural destiny. But Krishna was holding it all together. Similarly with Jayadratha, Arjuna vowed to kill him by the sunset of the next day. And he tried his very, very hardest, but it was impossible. Ultimately, he turned to Krishna. And Krishna gave him the intelligence. Krishna even orchestrated the whole material nature in such a way that he could do it. He threw his chakra to block the sun. So everyone thought the sun set. And everyone put down their weapons and were celebrated. Then Krishna said, now you take your crescent-shaped arrow and cut off his head. Finished. That is Krishna. He's giving all powers to his devotee, but he loves to give credit to his devotees. There's a beautiful conversation where His Holiness Vishnujana Maharaj is inquiring from Srila Prabhupada that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He wanted the holy name of Krishna to be spread through every town and village within the world. Why didn't he do it himself? He could have done it. Why didn't he? And Srila Prabhupada, with such humility, he responded, he saved that service for us. Actually, he is the doer. But he loves his devotees to be instrument of his will. And who becomes the instrument of his will?
Mahatmanastu mam bharata daivim prakriti mashrita.
The great Mahatmas who surrender to him, who live under the protection of his divine nature. In this world, there is a great need for peace. Srila Prabhupada is explaining in this purport a subject that is extremely relevant, not only to today, but every day within the entire cosmic manifestation. There's so much conflict, so much violence, and so many people are talking about how to somehow or other create peace. But herein we find that the only way to achieve peace is through sacrifice. Srila Prabhupada defines sacrifice so suitably in this particular purport. He explains that when one dedicates his or her self-interest for the welfare of others, that is called sacrifice. Just like a mother would like to sleep all night, but the baby is crying, and the mother gets up and stays up all night taking care of the child. That is sacrifice. Yesterday, I was speaking to one very virtuous lady, and she was saying that people say that I perform so much sacrifice for my family. But actually, I don't think it's sacrifice because I like to do it. So it's not sacrifice. I said, no, it is sacrifice. Sacrifice means dedicating yourself for the welfare and the interests of others. The more you like to do it, the more it's a sacrifice of love. If you don't like to do it, it's a different type of sacrifice. It's a sacrifice, but it's a sacrifice more on the platform of responsibility and duty. That is preliminary. We must perform sacrifices by performing our duties whether we like it or not. The supreme sacrifice in this age is the sacrifice of the chanting of the holy names. His divine grace, Srila Prabhupada, has instructed his followers to chant at least 16 rounds every day of japa. So to some people, we really don't like to do it. There is so many other things our mind and senses are inclined toward. Have any of you ever had this feeling in your mind? Sometimes it may come about, whether it's just while you're sitting down to chant for that hour and a half to 2 hours, just some other inclination may come to your mind. I don't know if it's ever happened to you, but someday it may, so listen carefully. We want to go somewhere, we want to do something, we want to be with someone, we want to eat something, we want to go to sleep. But what is sacrifice? We are chanting our japa for the purpose of pleasing Krishna. And how do we please Krishna? Yasya prasada bhagavat prasado. Yasya prasada nagati kutopi. By pleasing the order of the spiritual master, we're going to please Krishna. The spiritual master only tells us what pleases Krishna. So he wants us to chant japa. So we're doing this for his pleasure. And sacrificing that time, sacrificing that attention, sacrificing that concentration to please the Lord, that is the supreme sacrifice in this age. So in the beginning, we may not like it. In fact, it may be the last thing in the world our mind and senses want us to do. But we will do it.
This is Vedi Bhakti.
Out of discipline, out of regulation, we must do it. It is our duty. It is our responsibility. If a mother can stay up all night for her child, how much we should be willing to sacrifice for Krishna, for the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But as we perform that sacrifice, by attentively chanting, even when we're chanting, the nature of the mind is it wants to think of other things and go other places. The sacrifice of japa is not only doing it, but just yato yato nishchalati manas chanchalam asuram, just dragging the mind back to the name whenever it wanders and wanders and wanders, just keep bringing it back, Hare Krishna. That sacrifice pleases Krishna. Dedicating oneself for the interest of another. We make sacrifices in family. We make sacrifices for our nation. You have to pay taxes. That's a sacrifice. How many people love to pay taxes? How many people have a spontaneous eagerness to just give the government your money? But it's your duty, it's your responsibility, because they're doing so much for you. It's a sacrifice. And humanitarians, philanthropists, they sacrifice so much to help the other people suffering. We find historically people go into disease-ridden, dangerous jungles and spend practically all the years of their life just trying to help other people to come out of suffering, to become a little more educated and fulfilled in life. There is sacrifice for the body, there is sacrifice for the mind. But Srila Prabhupada is explaining here the supreme sacrifice, real sacrifice, is the sacrifice of the soul, the sacrifice for the pleasure of Krishna. Bhoktaram yagatapasam sarava lokameheshwaram suradam sarava bhutanam gyatvam am shanti michchati. This will bring about peace because it will awaken truth. It is our eternal nature to make sacrifices for Krishna. So as we are chanting the holy names of the Lord, gradually we become purified. And then, Rupa Goswami explains, what happens as we begin to become purified in our heart? I do not know how much nectar the two syllables Krishna have produced. When the name of Krishna enters name of Krishna vibrates on my tongue, I desire many, many, many tongues to chant. When it enters into my ears, I desire millions upon millions of ears to hear the sweet sound of the holy name. And when that name enters into my heart, it conquers my senses, conquers my mind. He's in ecstasy chanting the holy names. This is a sacrifice. Impersonalist philosophers, they also chant Hare Krishna sometimes. And if you ask them, what will the goal of your chanting of Hare Krishna be? They will say, mukti, liberation. Enter into the divine oneness of the Absolute. Then will you chant? There's no one to chant at that time. The divine oneness is a place of silence, stillness, and peace. No more chanting. Well, if you ask Vaishnav, Srila Prabhupada explained, when they asked, what will you get out of this chanting of Hare Krishna? Prabhupada said, we will get out of it the chanting of Hare Krishna. We will go on chanting Hare Krishna forever. This congregational chanting is the eternal activity of the spiritual world. But in our purified state, we will chant with spontaneous love. That is the perfection of sacrifice. to serve the interest of Krishna with spontaneous, natural love and devotion. That is the ultimate sacrifice.
Srila Prabhupada, what was his sacrifice?
What he went through just to please Krishna, just to give mercy to us.
All alone on Jaladuta, heart attack, seasickness. He had strokes, living in poverty, living in danger and fear, fearful situations at least.
Didn't give up. He sacrificed his life to give us Krishna. Why? It was spontaneous, out of love. And what was the result of that great sacrifice? Krishna was so pleased with that great sacrifice that in reciprocation of his sacrifice, millions of people are chanting Harinam. So many people are perfecting their lives in devotion. One time devotees asked Prabhupada, what was our qualification to get the highest knowledge and the highest path of transcendence? Srila Prabhupada, in all humility and honesty, he replied,
you had no qualifications. I made your qualifications.
His sacrifice, the sacrifice of his heart's prayer, the sacrifice of his heart's compassion, the sacrifice of his body by going through so much difficulty that not even the greatest saints were willing to go through that because it was too much difficulty and too much inconceivably impossible to achieve. It was his sacrifice that was our qualification. And to recognize that and be grateful for that is a very important element in our pleasing Krishna. Because how Krishna is pleased by the sacrifice of a devotee for others.
8th canto Srimad Bhagavatam, it declares that
Lord Shiva was willing to drink the massive quantities of poison that were coming out of the ocean of milk. Now the poison he drank was so powerful. It was spreading in all directions throughout the entire universe. You can't even imagine the quantity of this deadly poison. Even the demigods understood that they were going to be extinguished by this poison. What to speak of mere earthly beings. So when they were approached by when they approached Lord Shiva, he concentrated it all to fit in the palm of his hands. Can you imagine the power of that poison? An ocean of deadly poison concentrated, condensed to fit within his hand.
Hare Krishna.
And he drank it. And his throat became black, Kalakanta. And he's glorified for having black throat. Because compassion. Therein it explains by Shukadeva Goswami, and Srila Prabhupada elaborates, the greatest service one can render to the Lord is the sacrifice of compassion toward other living beings. And the greatest compassion is the compassion of pleasing Krishna by giving people Krishna consciousness. Krishna tells, there is no one more dear to me than such a person who is preaching my message. Yajai sankirtanai prayai yajantehi sumedasha. Those who have good intelligence, they understand that in this age of Kali, The greatest of all sacrifices is the congregational chanting of the holy names. Because the chanting of the holy names fills the entire environment with Krishna, purifies the hearts of all living beings, whether they know it or not, awakens the natural, eternal love within the heart. That is the power of the holy name. One time Haridas Thakur was challenged by a Brahmin, smarta, so-called Brahmin by birth. He chastised. He said, Haridas, what is this nonsense? You're loud chanting the holy names. According to our scriptures, and I know I'm Brahmin, these mantras are supposed to only be chanted very silently by qualified Brahmins. You're an untouchable and you're loudly screaming out these names. You're causing the ruination of our religion. Why do you do like this? And Haridas Thakur quoted from Shastras. He quoted how chanting the holy names of Lord loudly 100 times more beneficial than chanting silently. Why? Because other people get the benefits. And ultimately the purpose of our chanting is to please the Lord. And if other people get the benefit, how much more we're pleasing Krishna. He is Aham Bija Pratapita. He is the seed-giving father of everyone. He wants everyone to come back home, back to God. So Haridas quoted so many nice scriptures to confirm this, that the Brahmin was very upset. He had no logic, no scriptural quotations to defend himself against Haridas Thakur's humble and simple presentation. So all he could do is propaganda. He said, now I see that what the scriptures say is coming true, that low-class untouchables are instructing high-class Brahmins. Ah! And he walked away. Would not accept defeat. And Thakur Haridas, what could he do? He just went on chanting. When you're a preacher, you cannot expect everyone is going to accept. When you're a preacher, you have to accept the sacrifice of blasphemy, of being attacked. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur was simply sacrificing his life out of compassion for the welfare of all living beings, and people wanted to kill him. They crucified Jesus Christ. And Srila Prabhupada, he came to America to make it something great. On every piece of currency it says, in God we trust, but nobody trusts God. Prabhupada's actually explaining who is God, so you can actually trust Him. And there were legal cases, and they wanted to drag him into the legal cases. There were threats to him. Parents were cursing him for giving their children the ultimate goal of life. And even here in this, that we must understand. Then we will be grateful. Then we will be faithful, loyal, chaste, dedicated. And then we will also be inspired to share that sacrifice. Srila Prabhupada always said, I was just reading a letter to one devotee in 1971. It was an initiation letter. He was giving him his name. And he said, I'm very happy that you're doing this nice preaching in Gainesville, Florida. He said, I heard so many nice reports of what is going on. He said, I am simply trying to assist my Guru Maharaj in this great mission of spreading Krishna consciousness. So let us together assist my Guru Maharaj in spreading Krishna consciousness. This is the greatest thing. So Krishna's sacrifice of compassion as he descends to this world for our benefit and all the great devotees, that is their purpose. In Parampara, no one takes any credit for anything. Everyone is giving credit to their spiritual masters, and all the spiritual masters are giving credit to their spiritual masters, and ultimately everyone is giving all credit to Krishna and Sri Radharani. And Radha and Krishna, they give all credit to others. Krishna. In Bhagavatam, there's a beautiful place where Lord Krishna explains that the only reason that my lotus feet have the power to deliver people from all suffering is because my devotees are always attached to them. Yes? Because of my association with my devotees, therefore, I have the power to give liberation and divine love. So ultimately, nobody takes any credit from top to bottom. Everyone gives credit to Krishna. Krishna gives credit to Radharani. Radharani gives credit to Krishna. Krishna gives credit to his devotees. And yet still, within this world, we're so much attached to getting credit. What an illusion. The power of Maya deludes us in such a way that we want to be seen as the doer. What did Srila Prabhupada did? And he always was saying, I am just the instrument of my Guru Maharaj. He has sent all of you to help with this mission. Giving all credit to others. This is Vaishnavism. And this is how there can be unity. All the violence, all the corruption, all the suffering in this world due to conflict. There's imminent wars over who possesses what land. There's all kinds of terrorism based on some so-called religious ideologies of what we're identifying with. My scripture says this, therefore you are evil. Well, my scripture says this, so you are evil. Not evil. So much fighting and killing and hatred in the name of religion, in the name of races. Conflict due to race, conflict due to religion, conflict due to nationality, conflict due to what sex you are, conflict due to what generation you're in. We're in conflict with the ecology and the Mother Nature, by the way we're exploiting. So much conflict. Wreaking havoc everywhere. People are looking for solutions, serious solutions. Recently I was in New York City and I met one of my very, very dear godbrothers, Yogeshwar Prabhu, very intelligent devotee, very intimately served Srila Prabhupada in many ways. He has such a burning desire to preach Krishna consciousness. We were riding in a taxi together from Central Park to Second Avenue. And while we were seeing the sights of New York City through the windows, he was telling me he works for a big, big corporation where he mixes with very, very influential people, not only throughout America, but worldwide. He was saying to me, this is the most opportune time to preach Krishna consciousness. No time is more suitable than now to actually inject our message within the world society. Because even big influential leaders of corporations, political, social, they're bewildered. Said, here in New York City, how many billions and trillions of dollars are there in New York City? But yet, when those two planes crashed into the World Trade Center, the city was emotionally paralyzed, shocked. What is this world? And then he said, when the economy, these big multinational corporations, Enron, and what was the other one? Huh? WorldCom? These are big corporations. So much corruption, cheating, which caused such plain low-down exploitation and misery to their innocent employees and stockholders and everyone else. Shocking. Where is the ethics? Where is the morality if the world, so much cheating on all levels, so much danger, the people are the very foundation of people's misconception of reality is being shaken like an earthquake. The situations that are happening in this world are creating a moral, ethical earthquake. And people's comfortable idea of what is real and what is good and how happiness in life can be achieved, it's just shaking to the core. People are actually becoming bewildered and confused. They don't know what to do, where to go for actual purpose in their life anymore. They're looking for answers. They're searching for answers. And Srila Prabhupada came with the most perfect and complete answers to all their questions, and a practical process by which we can achieve the fulfillment of life. But somehow or other, we're just so much immersed sometimes in just dealing with our own problems. We forget about all the problems of the world, and Srila Prabhupada and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and our Guru Parampara have actually entrusted all of us with the ways and the means to actually bring human society out of their darkness into the light of pure unalloyed devotional service. People will hear. People are longing, they're thirsty for knowledge, for meaning, for purpose in life. Generally, people do not commit suicide because they have physical pain. People commit suicide because their life just has no meaning. It has no purpose. There's just no reason to go on living. Things are just too lonely. We must have a purpose. We must have a meaning. We must have a mission in our life. Vyavashayatmaka buddhir ekeha kurunandana bahushakahyanantascha buddhayo vyavashayana. Krishna says those who are on this path are resolute in purpose. Their aim is one. The intelligence of those who are irresolute is many-branched. When we understand that we are the eternal soul, we are part of Krishna. And the purpose of life is not sense gratification. The biggest and best sense gratifiers in the world are some of the most lonely, miserable people alive. The purpose of life is sacrifice. Human life is meant for sacrifice. Tapo divyam putraka yena satvam sudyajyasyam brahma sokyam vanantam. And the real sacrifice is to please Krishna. The sacrifice by which we become self-realized and awaken love, because that love is what ultimately is the only thing that will please Krishna. So when we have this purpose, when we have this mission, which is not just a flickering mission that will change according to the times and the circumstances, it is the eternal mission of the soul, to love God and to serve God. And in this world, the only true goal of life, Natevatu Swaratakatim to Vishnum, Prahlad Maharaj said, the only real goal of life is Vishnu, to serve Vishnu, to love Krishna. We must be fixed in our determination. We must be resolute. And we must harmonize and orchestrate everything we do in our world to fulfill that goal. And just that meeting, just that purpose brings so much fulfillment and inner happiness. We have seen devotees on their deathbeds. Recently I was with one devotee, Radhanath Prabhu. Radhanath Prabhu is a disciple of Srila Prabhupada. He used to live here in Juhu some years ago. He was a book distributor, Radha Damodar Traveling Sankirtan Party, just dedicating, sacrificing his life for the welfare of others. Then he got a disease. Miserable disease by material standards, where his body became emaciated, his back became crippled, his legs became crippled. He was on a wheelchair, couldn't even walk, could hardly move. But still, he's just preaching, going out on his wheelchair, distributing books, chanting his rounds, doing kirtan, loving the devotees. Never finding faults with others, never complaining, just rejoicing the glory and the fulfillment of life serving Krishna. Grateful for any situation he can be allowed to serve Krishna. Recently, some complications in his terrible disease, and he had to get both of his legs amputated. That means you have practically half a body when your legs are gone. He was in the hospital. He begged for the opportunity to come to the temple in San Diego for Balaram's appearance day. And when he came, he's in a hospital with all these just ordinary materialistic doctors and nurses and administrators. But he was so deeply from his heart grateful to them for allowing an exception for him to leave and go to the temple. Because after a major surgery like that, you're not supposed to just leave and go to the temple. So he was so grateful to them, and he was so grateful to the devotees for inviting him. And when he was looking at the beautiful deities of Radha Giridhari and Krishna Balaram, so much love, so much gratitude in his heart, then I'm allowed to see you. I'm allowed to chant your name. I'm allowed to be with your devotees. And when I went to the hospital the next day to see him, he was all alone in his room. Everyone else, I was walking by so many rooms, every other room, people just in their miserable situations were watching television just to forget about the realities of life. That's really why people watch television. Not because it's entertaining and it gives joy to the heart. It's because our lives are so boring. Somehow or other we just leave our own world and go into some other world. Just to somehow or other fill in the boredom. Especially when you're laying all alone, suffering on a bed. And I got to his room and there's a television, but it's off. And I just hear, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram. He's just sitting there chanting japa, very, very emotionally chanting japa. His arms are about this big. His chest is about this big. His body is a wreck. He can hardly move a limb of his body, but he's just sitting there chanting japa. And then he's making phone calls to different people, preaching to them,
preaching to devotees, preaching to just ordinary American people. And he's preaching with such enthusiasm. He's happy. I heard him preaching to one person. The person's just a, what we would call a karmi person. He's just engaged in karmic activities, not a devotee. And he's preaching to this person, come to Krishna consciousness. It's such a joyful, blissful life, chanting, dancing. I don't know how he could dance. He doesn't have legs, but his heart is dancing. The real dancing is of the heart. He's telling people the joys of devotional service. Sacrifice. Sacrifice of love. That is the source of real fulfillment. He has a purpose. Prabhupada gave us a purpose to live, the ultimate purpose. The sacrifice for the pleasure of Krishna. The sacrifice for the welfare of others. Be thou happy by the performance of the sacrifice, so it will fulfill all your desires. That is the words of Gita. The sacrifices Srila Prabhupada went through to build this temple of Radharas Bihari in Bombay. His Holiness Giriraj Swami Maharaj is writing an entire book only about that. Prabhupada building this temple, the sacrifices, the anxieties, the challenges that he went through. And his devotees shared it. At one time, this was a mosquito rat infested swamp. Sridhar Maharaj, Giriraj Maharaj, and other devotees, they were here getting malaria, getting diseases, kind of in the middle of nowhere. Their sacrifices built this temple. And what is the purpose of this temple? To attract people, to come, to see the beauty of the Lord, to associate with the devotees of the Lord, to hear the holy name of the Lord, and ultimately to understand the goal and purpose of life. To sacrifice in the pleasure, in the service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Vyavashayatma kabhutir ekeha kudunandana. Our spiritual progress is very much determined by our determination, by our one-pointed purpose in life. And learning how to harmonize every aspect of our life with our one ideal, our goal, our purpose. To serve Krishna, to love Krishna, to serve his devotees, to give compassion to those fallen souls through the chanting of the holy names. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Hare. I'm late. I'm sorry. So we should end here. Thank you very much for your patience and tolerance upon me. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.